All right, hello and welcome for the penultimate time to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
Yes.
The bots are going away.
No, it's too sad.
Well, the bots never truly go away.
They're not going away, just their unionized voice actors are.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Although I've heard that the Rescue Bots Academy cast is okay, at least compared to the Cyberverse cast.
But the Cyberverse cast has the Steve Bloom we have at home. There's a guy in that who's just really sounding Steve Bloom.
He's like, he's great value Steve Bloom.
Yes.
Considering how many jobs Steve Bloom had, where he was the lead character in anime dubs, it's understandable there's Steve Bloom we have at home out there.
Oh, this is true. I mean, I'm sure like a bunch of people decided to get into voice acting because, you know, I kind of sound like a tough guy. I could be Steve Bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be Believe Stoom.
Well, it's like the gravel in the voice he kind of needs. Because Steve Bloom feels, well, in some ways equal, but in another way, like a step down from David Hayter, the voice of Snake in Metal Gear Solid games.
And was he also the Guyver in the second Guyver?
The second one, yes.
Right.
Yes, we still haven't watched the Guyver yet. We will.
One of these days.
We really should have done for this season for Mark Hamill. But.
Ooh.
That's true.
Among other people. But yes, we'll eventually get to both Guyvers.
Yes.
I need to get that.
Guyvers will occur.
Someone wrote a book about the making of it, and I need to get that book.
Wow. It's a decision.
I'm afraid it was not a canon production, so it's not in my big canon film guides.
Aww.
Yeah, no, it's.
Although it seems like the kind of thing that might have been a canon movie.
Was it Full Moon?
I don't know if it's Full Moon, because I don't think it was shot in Romania.
No. Forget.
Like, I think Full Moon literally bought a castle in Romania.
Yeah, because they had to film those subspecies movies somewhere.
Oh, this was a New Line Cinema.
Oh, New Line. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, or at least distributed by New Line.
The one time I have watched The Guyver was long enough ago that it was on VHS rented from a Blockbuster.
Ooh. Oh. And I definitely watched it on a Saturday afternoon on Space the Imagination Station, which was Canada's equivalent to the Sci-Fi Channel.
Ooh, yeah, I want to say Sci-Fi aired it. I want to say I remember seeing ads for it in the middle of, like, Robotech and G1.
They often did it as, like, a double bill with the second one.
Mm.
Which I seem to recall was, like, probably a better movie, but also less stupid, so not as fun.
Yes, kind. Yeah.
Also, I don't think it has many stupid monsters in it.
But the stupid monsters look better in the sequel.
Right, but not stupid enough.
Yes.
Anyway, as you can tell, we really don't want to get on to the end of Rescue Bots because we're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been charming.
Yeah, I've really been surprised by how much I've enjoyed it. Like it's just a nice show that has some Transformer stuff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some episodes just have Transformers, but the plot isn't even really about them.
No.
Let's be honest, the Burns family, it's some of the best human characters in Transformers.
Absolutely. You know, just good voice acting all around, fun scripts, the animation's pretty fun.
It's weird, it's like, well, some series we get tired of some human characters. Or it's mostly like, we like one or two, and the other's like, yeah, whatever. But this is like a whole thing. Possibly because it's a bigger group of humans, like it's a whole Sentai team plus of character dynamics. You don't have to focus on the same ones every week.
Yes. All right, so yeah, this is the second last episode of Rescue Bots, the 103rd episode overall, the 25th episode of Season 4, first aired October 22nd, 2016, written by Transformers mainstay at this point, Nicole Dubuc.
Yay!
And we will be seeing her again in Rescue Bots Academy and on Transformers Earthbark.
Yes.
And we'll also be hearing her on Transformers Earthbark.
Yep. As two characters.
Yes.
Which I guess implies they're sisters. I'm going to go with that implies they're sisters.
Yes. So we open up and it is Frankie's birthday.
Yay, happy birthday.
And her present, she gets to see what the top secret project her dad and her stepmom have been working on.
I want a fancy ID badge for my birthday. Just fancy security yes. badge. I want top secret clearance for my birthday.
how about a sick laser necklace?
Yeah, that's pretty cool too.
I mean, that's cool. Which is cooler, the ability to have a laser around your neck or clearance to secret organizations, huh?
I think I'm going to take the clearance because I'm probably going to accidentally shoot myself with that laser.
Yeah. I mean, if it's an actual working dangerous laser, yes.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to go up to like adjust my collar or something, and then I'm going to accidentally laser my hand off.
Yeah, I'll go with the clearance.
Yeah, I have bent over and accidentally turned off my MP3 player somehow.
Yeah.
I would slice myself to ribbons.
I mean, that's why the three of us would not last half an hour on Gryffindor.
It would not go well.
Oh, no. I would immediately crash my helipack.
I would try to fix something that I really shouldn't.
Or it's also possible I would be crushed to death beneath a speeding poison truck.
Yeah, that's pretty serious hazard there.
Crushed to death and then later poisoned.
Yeah. Nope, definitely electrocution.
Mm-hmm. But no, this secret project is the Scrubber Initiative. Which, quite frankly, needs a cooler name.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so they are microscopic robots that eat pollution and garbage and so forth. But of course, this being rescue bots, they're in constant risk of a gray goo scenario.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And you have to be upfront about the hazards of these things, because the hazards of these things are where plot comes from.
Yes, we first saw these earlier this season, last season, in Bot-tastic Voyage, in which Cade actually ate them, and they had to go inside him and get them.
Yes.
Oh, right.
That was fun.
And so these ones are now bigger.
Not as easy to accidentally eat.
I think the first time we covered them, I compared them to Langoliers. Now they're Langolier-sized.
Yes.
Big, giant, hungry mouth things.
So look out, Cousin Balky. Or, wait, which of those guys was in the Langoliers?
It was Cousin Balky, yes. Doing...
Yes.
Okay.
Not an accent.
Shockingly.
He was just a crazy man with issues because Stephen King villain. Just has weird shit going on.
What do you
obsessed
mean that
with getting to a meeting?
What do you mean that wasn't his real accent?
You mean he wasn't really from that like made up country?
I think I'd actually seen him in something. I must have seen him in something first. Also, it's so hilarious of an accent. Like it, unlike the guy in Ghostbusters 2. When I found out that wasn't his voice.
Oh, Peter McNichol.
Yes, Peter McNichol. Yeah, no, but Balky's accent was so cartoonish that.
Is it possible you saw him in Beverly Hills Cop?
Maybe?
Where he is not... He does not have, like, a wacky accent, but...
Oh,
he is super cartoonishly 80s gay.
Yeah. That's a character type I'm glad has gone away. Gone away mostly or been changed and actually cast gay people in the roles.
Bring it up.
David, I have bad news for you.
About what?
You know that new Beverly Hills Cop movie that's like
oh,
out
right,
on Netflix
came out
now.
On Netflix. Oh, they brought Balky back.
Yes, they did.
Okay, sorry. I saw an ad for that. Well, no, on Twitter, and I scrolled past it. And I was like, "What the fuck is it?" It's like I was assuming it was Eddie Murphy in a commercial.
There we go.
Making fun of actual movie, not a new movie, until I saw a trailer on Netflix. It's like, why? I mean, I eventually I'm probably going to watch it, but why?
I think we all know why.
Because I'm just burning doing the Neutron dance?
Sure. Yeah. I was going to say money.
Did they get... Wait, was Judge Reinhold in some of those movies?
Judge Reinhold's back.
Okay. Because, like, in the trailer I saw, I didn't see Judge Reinhold, or he looks nothing like I remember.
Well, I mean, he's, like, old now. But, yeah, they got him back, they got John Ashton back, they got Paul Reiser back.
Paul Reiser was in those?
He was, like, his partner in, I think, the second one.
Okay.
Like, circa Aliens Paul Reiser.
Yeah. Be a total asshole, Paul Reiser.
Yes. Anyway, so yeah, we now have these giant langoliers running around, and whilst all this is going, Doc Green knows that somebody keeps stealing his stuff.
He mentions a microfiber welding thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Microfiber welding tool. And they think, you know, it is that light-fingered baby CC Green.
Yeah, which, but understandable instead, that they're first blaming CC because she has had sticky fingers in the past, but, like,
yes.
He's mentioning weirder and weirder, more high-tech things.
So she's my next suspicion, baby, but... the borrow. My next suspicion is those nefarious borrowers.
Yeah. And I think we lost Jen.
Jen? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I thought I heard a ding-ding.
I believe there's been some sort of cat-related mishap.
Probably.
Oh, no. There we go.
All right, I'm recording again now.
Okay.
What were we talking
about? about that thieving baby. But it is, in fact, my second suspicion would, of course, be those nefarious borrowers. But instead, it is the Morocco virus in the form of a Morocco action figure. Collect them all.
So they mentioned that there's a microfiber welder that is missing. And I have a lot of questions about what exactly that is.
That sounds
that
like...
do not get answered.
To me, that just makes me think of, like, a hot glue gun. Like, you're welding nylon together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just...
Yeah, it's got, like, fiber optics, but it kind of, like, melts them. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have questions. I assume it's just technobabble. But yeah. I just, like, I deal with a lot of, like, you know, outdoor equipment that... calls itself microfiber, and I'm like, so are you just welding this, like, nice soft blanket, or like, what are we doing? Are we cleaning glasses with it?
Yes, well, I'm building some upholstery in this Morbot, and I'd like it to be Egyptian cotton.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's for the upholstery. That's why he needed that. So yes, he is making a robot.
Yes, one of his race car transforming Morbots.
Yay! Which you can buy.
Yes. They're probably, like, crazy expensive on eBay these days, although...
Man, and a case, back when the flea market, before the flea market that I loved stopped existing, there's a guy who always had a bunch of toys, and there was a Morbot that was, like, in his... big bin of, like, cheap stuff, and I think it was, like, incomplete or something, so I passed it up, and now I'm like, man, I should have gotten that Morbot. Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, maybe not too crazy. Now I gotta look it up while we continue to discuss this.
Meanwhile, checking Guyver's. There's far too many choices of Guyver editions. Like, do I want the one with half a Mark Hamill face? Painted cover?
Yeah,
well,
those...
that's not too bad. You can get the race car one for, like, $20 shipped.
That's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember looking for them. They're not bad.
But yeah, the those Guyver DVD colors really want you to think that Mark Hamill is the Guyver.
Only like yes. the original one.
And not
they
a guy
sure
who,
did.
And not a guy who turns into a cockroach and then dies two-thirds away through the first movie.
Well, okay, the loose one is that much. Okay. Carded is a lot worse.
Yeah, boxed one is going to be a lot more.
They probably also don't want you to know that Mark Hamill has a terrible mustache in that movie.
I guess. Yeah, he hadn't quite grown into mustaches.
It was the 80s.
Well, he's not a guy who looks good with a beard. The mustache just makes him look like Larry Bird.
He looks okay with a beard now. Like, until like about 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, no, didn't work for him. He had to go more gray first. Because like anyway, in Cody and the Chief the House of Usher, he looks great. He's just evil.
So yeah, Cody and the Chief roll up. They're in chase, and Cody, you know, he's kind of chafing at the bit. You know, he is ready to get his own rescue bot partner.
He is. He really wants to have a buddy.
Yes. And part of the problem is that the current selection is Blur, who is terrible. Salvage, who is a garbage truck. Quick Shadow, who is vaguely sinister and also British, and he probably can't drive stick.
Yeah. Or on the other side of the road.
And High Tide, who is like a giant cantankerous boat.
Yeah.
So they need to get like a new guy. Or Salvage needs a cooler alt mode.
His alt mode is fine.
Because Salvage seems like a pretty low maintenance partner, but he's also obsessed with garbage.
Yeah. I would be fine
like,
with
you're
that.
Not going to be doing the glam work. And, you know, the Chief says that, you know, we need you back to be our mission control guy.
Have we considered bringing Denny Clay on board to partner with Salvage?
Oh, that would be dangerous, I mean, but they perfect. Wow, just
nation's garbage supply endangered.
Just imagine them binary bonded together. They'd be unstoppable garbage men.
Yes.
They'd be king of the junkions.
So good.
So now we are going to see the full extent of this scrubber initiative, because it turns out it is a multinational endeavor.
Yes.
Presumably done in conjunction with whatever vague government organization that Agent Fowler belongs to, because we get a call from China.
Yes. And
yeah.
They're like, how do you know about the rescue bots? And she's like, oh, Optimus Prime told me.
Yeah. And this is Dr. Meili Zeto, and voiced by a voice actor who is new to Transformers.
Oh, cool.
I remember looking up her. I forget. She was in...
That's Lauren Tom.
Yes, why?
You may know her as Min and Connie on King of the Hill.
Okay. Yeah, that's why.
And she's also Amy on Futurama.
Cool.
Yeah.
So she is in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, so she's been a voice actress for quite a while, but first time in Transformers.
Yes. First and so far only.
Oh. Well, let's keep getting that union budget.
That's right. So, yeah, they currently the scrubbers are going crazy in China, so they are going to need a little help. So everybody gets to the mainland training center, the incredibly toyetic base that does not have a toy.
Somehow.
And so they zip via ground bridge to Faxian, which is like this super high-tech city in China.
Yeah, it's a little Griffin Rocky, but
oh, shit,
more...
I did look up the name and I forget what it was.
Less like a place where they have to deal with hikers.
Apparently it means find or discover.
Ah.
Yeah, I wasn't it named after a philosopher or something?
Oh, that I don't
It's like
know.
It's not an actual town.
No. Well, it's like one of those like manufactured towns that they made like out of the middle of nowhere. Except apparently this is supposed to be around Hong Kong.
I didn't actually notice a map in this episode, but probably. Well, it's on the water somewhere.
Yeah, I mean it's a little Griffin Rock, but it's also a little like a Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Like Griffin Rock, if it were run by like. Competent technocrats and not Mayor Lusky.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we don't
like Griffin Rock if it wasn't also like rooted in a very traditional New England sort of thing.
You know, yeah. It's very, it was built in the last decade cyberpunk kind of city, but before it hits the yes. dystopia, it's still the utopia part.
Yes. Like nobody is having weekly crustacean festivals in this town.
No. Sadly, no.
And they are indeed already famous. You know, they don't have to pretend to be bleep bloop robots because everybody knows who they are. They even have an opera dedicated to them.
Yay! Yeah, they're robots, famous.
It's like they're famous. There's opera and they don't know about it. It's very weird. I felt like they could have done a lot more gags with that. That could have been a whole episode unto itself of oddity.
Yes, because it turns out... With Optimus Prime being involved in all of this, Blade's comments that it's like he has a secret life we know nothing about. Mm. Like, it's he's like got this whole like... other show going on.
And speaking of things Blade doesn't know about, Blades finds out that he has his own fan club.
Yes! He is now truly fulfilled.
Yes, because...
Yes, like... now admittedly, this fan club may be literally two people.
Yeah. Was it this season or last season he tried to start a fan club?
He definitely tried to start a fan club, I believe, this season.
Early this season.
I think this is the first season that they're, like, out and about.
This is the season they're out. That hasn't been too... Okay.
But I don't know that his Griffin Rock fan club has sexy girl Blades cosplayers.
Yeah, that was... He has groupies. It was very cute.
He's so happy. He's gonna stay here forever.
He is delighted. He is never going to leave.
Oh, yeah. The town is named after a 14th century philosopher and monk.
Okay.
Or at least shares a name with.
So anyway, they are able to use a repulsor cube that traps them. And then that lets them hit them with an EMP, which disables these renegade scrubbers.
Yeah, they just bounce it into a box. It's kind of neat using their powers and stuff.
Yeah, and so that's the good news. But here comes Optimus Prime with the bad news.
Hmm.
And because this scrubber initiative is so important...
Optimus Prime's Force Ghost.
Yes.
Yes. He's got important stuff he's doing.
Yeah.
I am busy appearing in another television show, Rescue Bots. But I'm appearing via hologram to tell you that you are being assigned to different branch offices.
Yeah. Oh no!
So Chase, Boulder, Blur, and Graham, they're going to the North Pacific to live with Professor Baranova. And then Blades, Quickshadow, High Tide, and Danny, they are going to stay in China.
Yeah.
And then the Chief is going to have... He's still got Heatwave and Chase and Cody and, unfortunately, Cade. But he also has Salvage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who means well, at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I do want to point out that here in this town in China, with all their technological advancements, somebody's absolutely in a power loader from Aliens.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we can throw in some more references to movies that the target age group absolutely should not have seen.
Yeah.
And you know, to express his emotion and to mark the occasion, Chase... has composed a poem to express how sad he is.
Oh, right. That's why I have a note about Vogon poetry.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Yes. Yeah, it's impressive. Definitely look that up and watch that.
Chase is as good a poet as he is a mayor.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which, as you will recall, is terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about on par.
He's trying. He understands the rules, and he thinks that's all he needs. Yes, also Blades protests that Quick Shadow and High Tide won't listen to him, which, honestly, yeah, fair. Like, those two specifically. Like, why don't you just give him Blur while you're at it?
Yeah.
Just have the team of people unwilling to listen to Blades.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that Chase, Boulder, and Blur are going to the Pacific Northwest, where Professor Brandova is there for the peace and quiet, so there's absolutely nothing for them to do.
Yes, yeah, and they don't even have paved roads, so Blur doesn't get to have paved roads.
No, dirt yes. roads, big trees,
sucks
big
to be him.
Log cabin science lab.
And meanwhile, back on Griffin Rock, Salvage has decided to improve the city by turning the stoplights purple.
Yeah, because they'll be more visible, which I think actually they will not. But nice try.
I mean, there's an argument to be made about aiding color blindness in a way, maybe, but no.
But also, Salvage is just kind of a weirdo.
Yes. Actually, that is the thing. Like, why is it red and green lights when color blindness of red-green is so common? Among men, anyway.
I don't know.
It just seems like a thing that should have been filtered out a while ago, but never was. But I guess the standard, saturation level of them is different.
Yes.
Anyway.
And I can't remember, I think this is a Blades line where, I'm not sure what the context of this is, someone asks about a plan B, and he says, how about a plan me?
Ah, Blur.
Oh, I think that comes later.
Blades says that he's not sure High Tide even knows his name isn't Mosquito. Hmm.
Yes, because he's going to be in charge of this team, which seems like a bad idea.
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
I could see Blades doing fine with a team of people who are inclined to listen to Blades.
Right, like if you got, I don't know, Boulder and Salvage or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they both seem like like you gotta get the easygoing people who don't have a lot of ego of their own. Because the moment you get egos in there, you get people who think that they're, like, hyper-capable and they're just not gonna have any time for Blades. I think Blades could be a good leader with people who are willing to listen to him.
Hmm. But instead you got, High Tide, who is a zillion years old and also gigantic, so he's probably not going to listen to you.
No.
And possible known murderer, Quick Shadow.
Yes.
It's a good thing that Danny is sticking around, too.
Yeah.
She might end up being the de facto leader. But meanwhile, evil is afoot, as Dr. Morocco is now planning to take the Scrubber Initiative for his own.
Oh no, it's Morbin time!
It is indeed Morbin time.
Yay! Time to Morb.
And indeed, he's going to attack every site of this, and it is first off Doc Green's lab that has the Morbs as he escapes Trex. And indeed, it downloads a bunch of this stuff, including stealing the speed patch that Doc Green's been working on.
Wait, Doc Green has been working on the speed force?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to tap into the speed force.
Well, I guess that's a further step beyond, like, that thing he could stick onto a tire to make cars go ridiculously fast.
I mean, that's basically maybe what it is. He's just seems to be working on a more stable version of that.
Yes. So he escapes from there, gets to the firehouse, goes through the ground bridge, and then takes over the computer system of the action figure training center.
Awesome.
Even replacing their hologram with a copy of himself.
I really like the Morbot's robot mode's like cyber jet T face.
Yes.
I love a good G2 style T face.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to come into play next episode.
Yes.
Isn't there some Iron Man villain with a face that's that style?
Kind of looks like Sun Turion, maybe? Or various incarnations of the Titanium Man or the Crimson Dynamo?
Hmm.
Also, as they are trying and unfortunately failing to stop Morocco, we do get Chase's dino mode, so...
Yes, we do.
Nice to have the dino mode. Nice to remember that's there.
We're selling these toys one last time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Never forget to sell toys.
Yep.
Always be selling toys.
So he gets this resiliency tech from the Pacific Northwest, and he gets to China where he gets the hive mind technology.
He's collecting all the infinity upgrades.
Yes.
Oh no!
But they do manage. He's got all these power ups, but they do manage to blow up the ground bridge while he's halfway through, which does blow him up.
Oh no! He gets spannered, or no, Megatron.
Megatron, if there wasn't also a Ratchet in there.
Yes. Yeah,
well, yeah.
I mean, if this was a less PG-rated show, we might have had, like, a horrifying, like, Dr. Morocco, Morbot cyborg thing.
Sadly, yeah, we don't quite get to go there.
Or, I guess, something along the lines of what they did with Breakdown and Silas in Transformers Prime, which was pretty horrifying.
Oh, man, that was.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have been as horrifying here, since it's a giant transforming robot and a Chucky doll, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, there's Chucky movies get gory, but no, you could have done the Silas thing here, and it would have been fine.
I mean, Brad Dourif as Dr. Morocco.
Ooh.
If he just kind of sounded like Brad Dourif, kind of doing a Jack Nicholson impression.
Yeah.
And then before attacking rescue bots, he did that, ah! thing.
Yes.
Because even though obviously his best strategy as like a tiny doll man is to just secretly kill people, he always has to let them know firsthand so that they know that not only are they being murdered, they're being murdered by a doll.
Well, he does that most of the time in the movies. I haven't seen the TV series to know about
I hear it's good.
Method. I've heard very good things. I just haven't gotten
I hear
it.
A lot of it secondhand from my one coworker who's watching it and likes to tell me about it. And I'm like, you know what? I've told you so much about, like, GoBots. This is fair.
Yes, yes. I will listen to the continuity of Jennifer Tilly's character arc.
Yes.
Yeah. What the hell channel is it even on? Is it Showtime or something weird? Max?
Oh, it is on something. I don't know what's on in the States.
It's like USA or something.
What?
Oh.
I didn't really... Yeah. I'm kind of shocked USA Network is still around in a way.
I mean, listen, they say characters welcome, and that Chucky, he's a real character. Anyway, so they blow up this Morbot, but Morocco lives, and he's also got the training center's computer system. And that is where the episode ends.
Dun, dun, dun.
To be continued. To be concluded.
Oh, man, I can't deal with that. I don't want it to be concluded.
Yeah, I will say that one thing that this... I mean, this is an appropriately sort of action-heavy, high-event thing. I do miss... What this really doesn't have, as far as Rescue Bots goes, is it doesn't have a lot of the townspeople.
Yeah. And I mean...
And that's a big part of the Rescue Bots' charm.
Kind of, yeah.
I
mean,
I think that's why we got so much of them in Family Business a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, maybe. This could have been stretched out to a three-parter, but our history with three-parters is Saggy Middle.
This is true.
Then again, if Saggy Middle... had been lots of the townspeople.
It allowed
it. Would have worked, I guess.
I just needed one last Huxley Prescott report.
Yeah, it's been a while. Or when was the last time we saw him or the mayor?
Well, I think it was Family Business. That might have been the last one. Hmm. And that is the. I don't think they're in the next episode. Well, they're not in the next episode either. That's it for Huxley Prescott. That's a wrap.
Man, I want to get a T-shirt with his logo on it. The like with him with the mic out. I want that on a shirt. I want to wear it to a convention.
Oh, the I Dare Me logo?
Yes. Did I mention on here yet that one of the local news programs here has a I Dare Me kind of thing called Tommy Tries It?
Maybe. that is funny.
This is why I watch local news. It's like a solid 80% propaganda, but I love local news. It's charming.
I guess the main difference there is that whoever Tommy is, he probably does not live in his van down by the river.
Probably not.
No, and he probably has, like, a cameraman and producer, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, it is Virginia. We can't rule out the whole living in a van thing.
Yeah, man, housing prices here are ridiculous. Sometimes that's, you do what you gotta do. And sometimes what you gotta do is live in a van. Down by the Potomac.
All right, well, that does it for this episode, which now brings us to Jen's Visionaries Corner.
Visionaries. So I do want to take a moment before I go into this week's episode of Visionaries to give a shout out to the people at Hanna-Barbera, because I know there's been a lot of talk about how there is now this MeTV Toons channel, and all of the Hanna-Barbera stuff they have looks gorgeous. It looks beautiful quality. Like, sometime recently, they have been preserving and taking care of their film archives, and someone has recently gone through and scanned everything there, and it looks like the dumbest shows look absolutely beautiful. And this extends to GoBots.
Oh.
So, 4 a.m., you can watch some pristine quality GoBots episodes. And it's kind of painful in front of and behind it. So, it follows the real Ghostbusters, which looks rough. Like, I don't know if there, I mean, it's like DVD quality, maybe, and not good DVDs. It looks fairly rough.
That's weird that like, I mean, of the two, if you had to ask me which one had better preservation, I would have guessed the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Right. It looks like, was that Deke doing the actual animation on that?
Yes.
I believe it was. It was at least Deke at some point. Maybe not for the whole thing.
Yeah, the original.
Because I want to say the Deke stuff in general that they have is like Inspector Gadget. I haven't actually watched, but I've seen ads for it on MeTV Toons, and it also looks real fuzzy. GoBots is followed by the long title that I forget in its entirety, Ed Grimley Show.
Oh, the was it the Mixed Up Misadventures of Ed Grimley?
Something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah, and that also looks...
Oh, the Completely Mental Misadventures of Ed Grimley.
Yes.
Oh, that's, yeah, that I can understand not being well preserved.
That's a long title, if I do say.
Yeah,
that also looks real fuzzy. But man, I was wondering, I was ready to see how GoBots looked, because I was ready for it to be that same level of fuzzy, lower resolution. But yeah, Hanna-Barbera has been absolutely on top of their preservation. And those GoBots episodes, I need to take some screenshots, because those GoBots episodes look beautiful. Like, I'm watching it on a 4K TV, and I'm pretty sure we're looking at least, I mean, I'm on the Friendly streaming service, which goes up to, quote, HD, so I assume that's 1080. But I'm thinking it looks at least like 1080p quality. Like, I need to get my DVD out, because I have the first few episodes on the DVD release, and I need to compare it and see if it looks better than that, because I think it might. It looks real good. So extra credit to them, and especially considering what I've been doing with upscaling Visionaries and Inhumanoids, because as far as any of us know, no one is putting that same kind of preservation work into those. So yeah, I was like not okay for the rest of the day. I watched it at 4 a.m. and then I went back to bed, and then I got up the next day and I was like, oh my god, everyone, it looks so good. So anyway, I felt that was worth calling out just because of how frequently that is, you know, I've been doing stuff with Kid Video, which you maybe get a VHS tape that someone recorded off TV when it aired, and just the preservation level of a lot of the stuff from that time period is terrible, but GoBots just looks so much more beautiful than GoBots has any right to look. It's so good. So, MeTV tunes 4 a.m. If you have anything that can DVR it, just DVR it, because that is way too early. Like I said, not up to that standard of preservation. This episode of Visionaries is The Trail of Three Wizards. It is another Flint Dilly episode. It gets a little silly. So if you remember, we're going into the continuity there. If you remember back in pretty recently with... I need more caffeine to be doing this. But Wizard's Jail. Those wizards who escaped from Wizard's Jail. Yeah, Wizard and Merklin Jail. Was like, oh, bother. So he has brought the Spectral Knights in. He's basically, at this point, more or less cut ties with the Darkling Lords. But he's brought the Spectral Knights in, and he's like, okay, there are these three wizards, and I need you to track them down. And the Spectral Knights are like, okay, but we don't need anything from you right now. Like, our staves are all charged up, and our crops are doing fine, and, like, what are you gonna give us? And so he straight up threatens them, and they're like, okay, who are these wizards? He's like, yes, but I can make your crops fail. And they aren't even, like, scared. They're just like, okay, buddy. Who are your wizards? So one of them is, number one, we have Falcama, who is the one who had that, like, crazy Zoid thing a while back, and also who the Darkling Lords were keeping in their basement. We have one named Weezer Squeezer, which is definitely a name.
That's supposed to be a sex act.
Yeah, apparently there's a comment from Flint Dilly somewhere saying that his name was an attempt at, quote, adolescent humor.
Oh, dear.
But it does have a very creative spelling that you can check out on Wikipedia. he is cursed to never tell the truth. And there is a third one named Bogavus. Bogavus is like, he's a big heavyset guy with a big gray beard, kind of Santa looking, but a wizard. He hasn't done anything wrong that Merklin is aware of, but he might, so bring him in. So he tells them that they will likely be heading for a place called the Lost Shrine, and if he knew where it was, it wouldn't be called the Lost Shrine. Just go look for it. So it is rumored, however, to be in the Anarchy Zone. So our friends, the Spectral Knights, head to the Anarchy Zone, which is just, like, it's kind of a messy village. It's just got, like, wooden posts with a sign over it that just has Anarchy Zone, like, painted on it.
Is it like that crazy town from Gymkata? What was that called?
I don't know.
It's like Village of the Mad or something.
I mean, it's basically just a lawless Renfest village. So, Ektar of the Spectral Knights. See, the thing is, Ektar, he used to be a cop. So he is on top of this. He sees some guy who, for some reason, is a dwarf. And this is actually mentioned that this guy is just a dwarf. In the medical sense and not in the mythological sense.
Okay.
He's like, I remember that guy being a criminal back during the old days. And so he interrogates him. And that guy does happen to know one of the wizards was seen selling snake oil. One of them was buying a monk costume. And one of them was headed towards some mountain with what is referred to as hired slaves. And Cryotech says ACAB. He's like, ah, once a cop, always a cop. Good old Ektar. As Ektar, like, I think he's Cryotech's the one who's like, he's interrogating that poor dwarf. Like, okay. So they start out by going to the town of Deadbark. And you know how most of the world of visionaries, everyone is LARPing the Renaissance Festival? Well, in Deadbark, they have decided it's time to LARP the Wild West.
Oh, so it's Deadwood.
Yeah. It's basically, it's a Deadwood kind of place. Everybody's just very Western. So Cryotech and Arzon find Weezer Squeezer here, being pilloried after, like I said, selling snake oil. And they manage to bully everyone in the town into letting them take him. So they get him. Bolgavus is, in fact, pretending to be a monk. He, for some reason, is Jim Cummings doing an Aussie accent.
He does that a lot.
Yeah, he does that a lot. So it's just
isn't that what Monterey Jack kind of has?
Yeah, but also Monterey Jack kind of had a possible reason to be Aussie, whereas this guy's just like a wizard.
Space Aussie.
Well, it's like Doctor Who. You know, every planet's got a north.
Yes.
That's fair.
And every planet's got an Australia. In fact, I think most planets call theirs the Anarchy Zone.
Yeah.
Or yes. Just Space Australia in the case of Dragon Ball.
You know, it's that area of the planet where, you know, it's full of deadly animals and we send our prisoners.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple here, you know, 100 years later or so, it produces our planet's hunkiest actors.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's like I actually discussed this briefly with David. I'm trying again at watching the Magic Knight Ray Earth dub. And the Magic Knight Ray Earth dub is notable for having Canada's favorite southern accent doing a southern accent.
Oh, Lenore Zahn?
Yes, Lenore Zahn is doing a sort of a hinch lady. And it's Magic Knight Ray Earth is like a portal fantasy.
Yeah.
So the main characters are like, does this place even have a south? And the reason I had this discussion with David was that I looked up like what her accent was in the original Japanese.
Oh, was it a Kansai accent or something?
Something like that. And you're like, yeah, I can see why they would translate that as southern. So, yeah, I guess in the original Japanese, they were probably like, does this place even have a Kansai?
Yeah, because Kansai, like, maybe it would be more like a Boston accent because it's like Osaka accent as compared to Tokyo.
Well, they had Lenore Zahn available, so they were going to have her be southern.
Yeah, that's the thing. For a while, like Kansai accent, at least with ADV and a bunch of other places, they changed it to southern accents, partially because ADV was in Texas.
Mm. Well,
but I guess some
Canada.
Other dubbing places did it too.
So this guy is pretending to be a monk. A couple of the Spectral Knights go up to him and are like, so you are not really a monk, and you can either come with us quietly, or we will tell all these actual monks that you're a heretic. And he's like, all right, I'll come with you. Leoric and the other two of the Spectral Knights, he stops, I guess that one's Falcama, who has his hired slaves. Leoric just stops them in the middle of the road and emancipates the slaves. And the slave, he's just like, I declare these slaves emancipated. And the slaves are like, well, okay, this guy seems like someone in a position of authority. And so all the slaves run off. Falcama had some magic dust, but it's not doing him any good, so they capture him. Apparently, the wizards aren't much good without a shrine, which I guess is why Merklin just hangs out in his shrine all the time. So they all get their wizards and their selves back to their vehicle in the Anarchy Zone. But turns out it's been sabotaged, and they are being ambushed, so it's time for some fighting. So they are being besieged by the Darkling Lords, and they are going to release a wizard as a distraction. Falcama has already pleaded for the Darkling Lords to rescue him, and they were like, lol, no. So Also, the Spectral Knights at this point have decided they kind of like Bulgavis. They're like, yeah, this guy seems cool. So they decide to release Weezer Squeezer. So Weezer Squeezer makes a run for it, and the Darkling Lords catapult Sindar to just, like, literally just put him in the catapult and send him to tackle the wizard. I love Sindar. So at this point, the Darkling Lords decide, well, we've got a wizard. So Merklin sends a giant hand from the clouds to pick up the Spectral Knights and their two captured wizards. So meanwhile, the Darkling Lords are checking out this wizard they've got. And Weezer Squeezer is really like, oh, I'm no good. I'm not worth even keeping around. You might as well just let me go. And one of the Darkling Lords is like, wasn't there a wizard who was cursed to never tell the truth? And so they're like, okay, what color is snow? He's like, black, and a couple similar questions. And they're like, okay, so if you're saying you're actually useless, then you're very useful. So they ask him if he knows where the lost shrine is. And he says, of course not. And Darkstorm says, then where isn't it? And he says, it isn't to the west of here. And so they go west of there. It's very clever. So meanwhile, Merklin sends Falcama straight back to the wizard's jail. Bulgavis is like, I'm not even a real wizard. I'm just an illusionist. You don't need to send me back to the jail. I'll be fine. And Merklin does some spell that tests him and is like, okay, yeah, he doesn't actually seem to be that powerful. And all the Spectral Knights cheer because they are apparently fully on Bulgavis' side at this point. So, meanwhile, Weezer Squeezer is not leading the Darkling Lords to the shrine. It is underground, and it seems to be in the ruins of a zoo for some reason.
Oh.
That will turn out to be a thing. So the Spectral Knights return to the Anarchy Zone because they do still need to get that last wizard. Officer Ektar goes back to being a cop, and he interrogates a guy who points out that something is watching them from the building across the street. And this is really weird because they go into the building across the street and there's some kind of giant, like, hut monster with a bunch of arms with eyes and the hands, and it eats them. And then it goes to commercial break. And I'm like, what the hell?
Well, you gotta have your commercial break peril, so.
I guess. This thing is sentient, though, and they fight. They beat it up from the inside until it spits them out and also tells them where the shrine is. Meanwhile, back with the Darkling Lords, Weezer Squeezer sets off an alarm on purpose, and I guess this zoo has golems as security?
Cool.
So some golems show up. That, again, will turn out to be a thing.
Now, are we saying like golems,
like,
or like
golems, like clay people?
Oh, okay, I thought you meant like golems, like a bunch of like little wiry fish-eating guys.
No, in the sense of animated clay creatures. Okay. I don't know. Well, we'll get there. The Spectral Knights find the entrance, and so there's a big fight. The thing is, every time one of them turns into an animal, one of the golems captures them and puts them in a pen, which is great because, like, the first one, he's like, the lizard has escaped. Here's the lizard. Now the lizard is back in its enclosure. So it's putting them in the enclosures as they turn into their totem forms. So Weezer Squeezer at this point has made a run for it. Just about everybody gets captured in animal forms, but Leoric consults the Staff of Wisdom, and the Staff of Wisdom tells him to resist the temptation to do what you would do. So he figures it out that he needs to not turn into his animal totem form. So also, he continues down into the underground chamber. There is a door that literally just says shrine on it. There is a table with some ladies, like sexy ladies, setting out a Runfest dinner. Basically, the point is you need to ignore whatever is trying to tempt you in. Whatever you are inclined to do, do not do that. So he does eventually make it down to the actual shrine where Weezer Squeezer has gotten ahead of him. He goes for the orb and Leoric breaks the orb. Because orbs, as we know, are very important for wizards. As we know from the meme about pondering them. So Leoric breaks the orb and everyone is set free. The whole zoo thing was just an illusion set to, like, capture them because that is what it needed to do. So it wasn't a real zoo. So everyone is freed. They go back to Merklin. Merklin sentences Weezer Squeezer to an eternity in wizard jail. Also, Merklin has brought both of the groups in, so he just literally, like, kicks the Darkling Lords out of his home and down the side of the mountain. For the Spectral Knights, he's like, okay, what do you want me to do? And they're like, we have benefited from our deeds, and that is enough, because that is how good they are. So they do ask, however, if he knows how Bulgavis is doing. And Merklin is concerned because he suspects that Bulgavis may actually have just been powerful enough to fake it through his test, and that would make him a powerful wizard indeed. And we go to Bulgavis, like, sitting in a chair, like, sinisterly sipping some wine. So I assume in the last couple episodes, maybe he'll show up again. I don't know. We'll see. So yes, that is the trail. It seems like it should be trial, but it's actually the trail of three wizards. Once again, a lot of fun.
They aren't following them around.
Yes.
More than a trial.
There's some cute writing. I have no idea why that hut monster. It is literally like a Jabba the Hutt kind of hut monster.
You need a cartoon peril for the commercial break?
I guess so. And I guess it's... I do like that there are parts of the Anarchy Zone where people are just LARPing different, like, pre-technology or pre-electronics civilizations. It's pretty great. I hope there's one area of it that's just, like, feudal Japan. And that sounds fun. So anyway...
What was the last episode we did? Was that...
It's been a little while. Was that the overthrow of Merklin?
I believe so.
Overthrow of Merklin, well, according to one website, visionaries.net, that was episode 7. Then it was Power of the Wise. Then Horn of the Unicorn, which I don't remember. Horn of the Unicorn and Claw of the Dragon, which I don't remember.
That was the one where they got sent on the quests, and Sindar was like, no, but I want to help I don't want to hurt the unicorns.
Mostly, I believe the last one we did was the one where the bad guys accidentally unleash, like, a bunch of ancient prophecies.
Yes, that's the overthrow of Merklin. I think there may...
Okay, and then the Dr. Smith guy is like, no, stop reading!
No!
Oh, right, that one. Okay.
That's got that
really
good...
The title threw me as like, I don't remember any unicorns in the episode, I guess.
I think there may be some whole thing about how the episodes, like, release order versus production order or something.
Yeah, that's... always a problem.
But this definitely comes out right after the overthrow of Merklin because the wizards escape from... I love just the way he is like, oh, bother. Like, oh, drat. No. They escaped. So, yes.
All right, Power of the Wise was where one of them turned old. Whoever the leader is. I can't keep
right, they went to the beach that makes you old.
The curse that makes you old. So that is that. Watch GoBots. It looks so good.
All right, so that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots for the final time.
I'm not ready.
But until then, we are all over the internet. We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For June, we were a little late with May's episode, so we got both Masters of the Universe, the original movie, and the American, the first attempt to do an American Ultraman, with Ultraman The Adventure Begins, which... I wonder if Hanna-Barbera has that and that same quality sitting around their archives somewhere, and they just haven't done anything with it.
Maybe. I mean, the uploads on YouTube aren't that bad. They're pretty good.
Yeah, but they're definitely, like, upscaled versus being actual film scans.
Yeah.
My mind went to, like, what other weird random Hanna-Barbera things may be beautifully preserved out there somewhere that just haven't been released.
Well, film preservation of anime in Japan is this weird, complicated thing. Like, I forget what it was called, like, one recent house that, like, held a lot of files and films, like, closed down, so people were, like, trying to rescue them out of there or something, and, like, on our Discord, which we should also plug more often, along with Patreon, like, I was watching, well, along with our Tokusatsu Night, which is now Saturdays, I was showing episodes of Dangayo, which is a 3-episode OVA series, and, like, the third episode, the two first episodes are in Blu-ray quality. They've been recently put out in Japan and possibly, well, no, not in America, because otherwise I would have bought it. But the third episode was lost in a fire, so all that's left is, like, Laserdisc quality, I think, is the best they got.
Oh.
It's just weird. But it's weird that, like, only one of them
was lost. I just have one thing to say, and that one thing to say is Lensman.
Well, yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry. Even if that's preserved anywhere, we're never going to see it.
Look, none of this will ever be as bad as the Doctor Who situation, so.
No.
There are things that are as bad, but there are things we probably don't care about as much. Like, Lensman is about as close as you're getting to that. Like, yeah. Theoretically, it could be somewhere, but it's legally impossible.
Yes.
For now.
For now.
I think we got another decade and a half.
I guess the question is, when do the Lensman books go into the public domain?
10, 15 years, I think? I remember looking it up at some point.
It's pretty soon.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get more bits of Mickey Mouse before we get that.
Yes. And so we have not yet decided what we're doing this month, but if you have suggestions, let us know.
Yes. Maybe the Guyver. Always trying to do the Guyver. Always talking about
days.
The Guyver.
Yeah. Well, also, we should plug, presumably, I'm definitely going to have this done before then. TFCon!
Yes.
We will be there.
Yes. We will be at TFCon Toronto.
Weather or disasters willing.
Yes. It is going to be, like, apocalyptic driving up there, it sounds like. We will have to
see. It's going to be a long drive, and my getting back might be complicated. I think I figured it out, hopefully, unless they say I cannot drive a rental car across the border.
That's between you and the rental car company, I think. But, yeah.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm driving it across the border. Fuck, anyway. I just assume they're not going to charge me money for dropping it off in New York State as opposed to Toronto. Anyway, TFCon, we're going.
Yeah.
See us there, maybe, possibly. It's not like we're hosting a panel. If we keep going there relatively regularly, we should try that one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on panels.
Yeah, I know. It's just as like, who else would come to a podcast panel, or it would just be us?
Yeah, it kind of
rambling about bullshit.
People do that.
I mean, I guess I could put together a presentation about anime that tie into Transformers.
Ooh, I would do that. I would watch
theory,
that.
If I knew how to do PowerPoint. I don't.
I used to know
how to do PowerPoint, but...
Don't show Galgar her final. It's so horny.
Well, no, not final. Well, I'd probably show a clip. Not the horny part.
It's so horny.
Although I would be tempted to do the one symmetrical docking, because...
It got so horny. Anyway, sorry.
Yes, I haven't seen it in forever. I still need to buy that. Anyway. Yes, plug things, Discord, Patreon. We're on Mastodons and Twitters and
Blue
all
Sky.
Kinds of things.
I got us on Blue Sky.
Yes.
We do a news podcast every once in a while, which theoretically we're going to record one at TFCon.
Yeah.
Record something.
We'll see. We will see. I will bring the equipment for it.
Yay.
All right. So until next time. When we meet one final time for the final episode of Rescue Bots, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I dub this the finale of Rescue Bots, and I'm going to miss it. Goodbye. I'm David.
Okay.